It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Well, I think I'll continue the subject matter of last night now. I didn't have too much luck of people calling in and fessing up to the fact they've had such rage as they thought of, you know, doing to people like you see what's happened, but not to such an extent, perhaps. We've all, look, let's put it mildly, nearly everybody has thoughts of murder. Anger is thoughts of murder. That's what it is. You might not like to admit that to yourself, but that's what anger is. And enough of it will create fantasy and revenge and breed anger towards unfinished business, and you ruminate on it over and over again, and you build on it. You look reasons to sustain the anger. And everybody, to some degree, that's what depression is. What do you think depression is all about? What do you think suicide is all about? It is anger. The murderous thoughts towards others turned inward towards yourself. You listen to me. When you meet thoughts of suicide, people on the outside can look so nice and so sweet and so friendly. And then, but you don't know what's churning in the inside, doing their best to keep cruelty at bay by being nicer and nicer and nicer. And often people say, he was such a nice person. You know, that's to keep people at bay from hurting, to get to be liked. The trouble is, when you are liked, you have to act so as to be liked more, because someone liking you for acting out love, it actually makes you a slave of it. It encourages people to take advantage of you being so nice. See, and that couldn't cause even more rage. So, but the thing is, the nicest people commit suicide. The nicest people can be on a Texas tower, but he was such a good student. We never suspected anything like this. So it's not a criminal, always a criminal mind, although it becomes a criminal mind. But we all do terrible things to each other. But the trouble is, we don't realize that, many of us, we don't realize that we're harming each other. We only realize that others are harming us. Well, that's what we realize. That's what we're the most conscious of. And with purpose. Because the more conscious you are of what's wrong with others, the less, by relativity, the less conscious you are of what's wrong with you. And you, when you're angry, you think you're righteously angry. You know, that you are resentful and upset, it's only natural to be upset. It's perfectly justified that you should be angry and frustrated with these people and think terrible things about them. But then that way, it's a full-time job away from seeing how terrible you are becoming. And eventually, you are becoming more terrible using this means of feeling superior to what's more terrible than you are. And sometimes setting people up to be more terrible. So bantering backwards and forwards, arguing, until it becomes fistfights and family, you know, feuds, and calling the police and making your husband so violent that, you know, that you look like the victim when you've intimidated him to it. Well, this very often happens, especially in men, not so much with women. There's a certain pleasure of working someone up to a froth and making him do something really stupid. And calling the police, and the person may be a perfectly normal person, you know, but you know, you're not understanding what kind of game is being played here. And the wife not understanding how she's producing this behavior. And never being satisfied for those jollies she's getting. See, that's the way it works. What if you could drop that anger? What if you could realize what you are doing, and not only in realizing what you are doing, neutralize the dark side of it, the rage, sort of throw like cold water over it, and it disappears. So you're no longer repressing and you're becoming a superior being, but not superior to, in a sense, that you're looking down your nose, you're becoming a real human being. And to the degree that you can do this every day, you grow stronger and stronger and stronger and more noble. There's a spiritual and physical strength that comes from this. But I'm not sure that you would have any of it. I think many of you would rather not see what I would show you inside you. But call me anyway, 866-8883. That's an 800 number, 10 to midnight West Coast time. Or call my office tomorrow if you would like to call and get a CD and get some direction to your life. 866-RADIO-ROY. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
It's time for Advice Line.
Your truth resonates deeply with me, and I know it's the truth. I've read the Bible from A to Z. I feel like I just won the spiritual lottery.
Call 1-800-866-8883.
The difference between you and the many ministers and pastors and priests is they told me that's just the way it is. You told me why it is just the way it is, and you explained it to me.
Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Yes, sir. I put the word out. Do you want to know what love is? Do you want to know really what it is? Because I did start to talk about it yesterday, and the phones went dead. Towards the second hour, it was a pretty lively show until I described what love was or wasn't, and put some realism in the subject matter of the program, meaning 90% of you don't know what love is. You all think of loving as getting a feeling from someone and giving a feeling. Is that correct? Well, good luck. You're going to need it. Let me take my first call. Let's see if what this person wants. It's been a bit slow this evening, so I'll see if we can't make some sense of some of the people that are calling, because it just sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I sit behind the microphone, and every now and then I get, you know, half the time I get some really interesting people, soulful people. And the rest of the time you get sort of lost souls, and it's like talking at a wall, and you can hear it. And you soulful people who listen to the program, you can hear this. And I have to struggle with them, because I got to at least give it a good college try. So this program is special. It's special for people who are spirited, who see the wrong in the world, and see the wrong all around them, but you know, you realize perhaps you're dealing with it wrong, and it's getting to you. It's wearing. It's making you ill. You suspect it's giving you the mental, emotional problems. It's making like the person you hate, and so on and so forth. And so it's taking away your purpose, and you feel depressed. But you're a spirited person, and you have all the but you're being dispirited by the way you react. But you just don't know how to stop. And you have it within your grasp by calling this program. And even if you don't call the program, you can go to the website this evening and download the MP3 file called Be Still and Know. Let me take the Kim first, okay? Because I think this is more on the subject matter. Can we go to Kim? Thank you very much. Okay, hello, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I want to know what love is.
Do you think love is a feeling?
No.
What do you think love is? See, if I know what you think, maybe I can afford a correction. If one is necessary.
I think love is
it's a hard question, isn't it? Even to come up with it.
I there's feelings involved, but I think love is more
I'll tell you what it is. Is that it is a longing I can tell you what it is. There are two kinds of longings. There's the longing. There's only two kinds of love, really. And the Bible says it rather well. It's the love of the world or the love of God. You cannot serve two masters. You will love one, cleave to one, and reject the other.
Right.
So therefore, it has to do with a particular yearning. And you can see that your yearning goes outward towards others for approval. And the things you do to get a feeling from people, a sense of worth, to make a person feel good, hopefully they will make you feel good for making them feel good. The minute you do that, you're hooked to a feeling, which is giving to get. You give love to get it. And so, when love is missing inside you, you'll look for it on the outside in other people, but they haven't got it either.
Right.
See that? Because love isn't something anybody really has to give you. Love can come through you, but you can't get it from a person by loving them in such a way, putting them on a pedestal, and giving them raising them up so they will raise you up with a feeling that you gave them to you empowered them with.
Okay.
See that? So, so the thing is, that's all the love we have. Mostly we are all born with sort of bereft of this missing. We're missing this something. We know right from wrong, but yet we feel alone in ourselves. And the tendency is to want to be the center of the universe, to look for people to see us in a good light, and to do things in a way to please people so that you live from their pleasure.
Mm.
And you're uplifted by their respect. And you can't, because if you're uplifted by their respect, you can be dashed to pieces by their disrespect and their scorn.
Right.
So in the long run, when it comes to the world, love is detachment from all that. Detachment, you don't feel good when you drive you don't feel important when you drive a car. You don't feel important when somebody loves you. You don't feel more worth because, you know, you're being honored by something. And so that signifies if a person can be that way, it's either cold-hearted and fearful of emotions, or they have that detachment that comes from an attachment in another way. In other words, they are independent people, means they love what's right, they quietly do it and don't look for approval, and if people don't love them back, that's okay, they have plenty of love to give. They don't look for. See, when you love to be loved, you're actually manipulating and obligating a person to give you a feeling, to give you something, a sense of worth, which is worthless.
I searched like 90% of my life trying to get my mother's love, which I finally realized
you can't get it.
I'm damned if I do. I'm damned if I don't. I'm not.
That's right. That's right. Now you've got that.
It's
you've learned it.
Going to happen. So
then you transfer that to others, though. You may transfer it to men.
No, I just realized she is who she is. I have to accept her for who she is.
And
either I choose to spend time with her or I choose not to.
That's good.
And when she gets in her moods, it's time to hang up or leave.
Okay, so you're detached.
Right. I've learned to deal with it on that end.
And you don't carry anything away with you, any feeling, hurt feeling?
I'm learning better.
Yeah, you must learn not to carry away.
Right.
Hanging up is not the whole secret. It's not to carry a hurt feeling away or feeling of rejection away with you.
I understand that, but
it has to be a perfect thing. It has to be a perfect hang up.
Right.
If you're going to hang up.
Right, and for the most part, I do. But you know, once
you're,
in a while,
but you're learning. You're getting the skill of that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling.
It's freedom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And once I realized what I'd been doing all those years, it's like, hello, you know, for what? You know,
I like it. It seems like you have a grasp on it, so there's not a whole lot I can tell you. I'm glad I sort of grilled you a little bit, and you are on the right track.
Yeah.
You just make sure that you drop all the little resentments in every opportunity. If you can do that, you'll become a free person.
As long as I don't carry that over into all my relationships.
Well, no, you've got to carry that over to all your relationships.
I'm sorry?
You must carry this ability.
No. I mean the fear of that rejection.
Yeah, well, see, because you obviously have a fear of rejection.
Right. But like my one son says to me, I'm what? Always, you know, telling him how much I love him. And
you don't want to do that.
Well, why not?
No, you don't want to do that.
Why not?
It's the worst thing you can do. You keep reassuring him. Can't he see that? Can't he see that you love him?
Well, he even.
Why do you have to put it in words all the time? Why do you have to keep reminding him? Because well, you want him to love you back.
No, I want him to know how much I love him because I.
But see, now we need to talk a little bit more.
And then he even said to me, he killed me. He said, Mom, just because you didn't get enough of it from Grandma doesn't mean that you have to overdo it with me.
There you got it. See, you got it. He told you perfectly. Now you see.
He's a very smart kid.
Yeah, I know. But why don't you take heed? Because a lot of kids would hate you for that. They would see you manipulating manipulate him to say the same thing back.
Right.
And to have a feeling for you or to appreciate you in some way. They will feel a pull on them, which is not healthy.
Right.
So you've got a smart kid.
He's brilliant.
And it's lucky he doesn't resent you for that.
No, he doesn't.
I know, but that's a smart kid. Now you better be also smart and knock it off. Take heed.
So how do I...
Well, you know, you just love... Why don't you just love him and not look for a reward for being loved? That's the important thing. Love. But don't look for something back for it. For instance, if I was a preacher in a church, I used to, when I first went on radio, when I spoke these beautiful little truths, when people didn't get it, I got a little irritated. And I realized, what am I doing getting irritated about this? If I'm going to tell them the truth and speak my heart to them and help them, I've got to free them to accept it or reject it.
Exactly.
See? So you can't have a love that doesn't give him the freedom that you see, your kind of love is obligating him to love you back. And therefore you're a grace robber. He has to love you out of in his own time. He has to do something nice for you. Because you suddenly you wake up one day and he gives you a little kiss on the cheek. It may just be that.
Mm.
Or a little kindness that you least expected. Come on now. You're a good lady.
I got it.
Okay. It's a good thing you called. All right. What's the matter with everybody tonight? 866-8883. 866-8883, 10 to midnight West Coast time. I think I'll make a break here. Do you have David's nice commercial about, you know, supporting the foundation? It doesn't seem to get played so much anymore. Okay, thank you very much.
Hi, this is David Masters with a question for you. Do you ever feel alone and isolated? Like you somehow don't fit in this world that we live in? Here's a way to feel in touch again. Roy Masters has created New Insights, the newsletter. Every month you'll get a 16-page mini magazine filled with letters and articles that are uplifting and enlightening. The cost is $35 for a whole year. That's 12 issues once a month. New articles and letters that are always encouraging and insightful. And if you've had an experience that you would like to share, send it to us and we might publish it. To order, call 1-800-877-3227, Monday through Friday, regular business hours. That's 1-800-877-3227, or visit the website www.fhu.com.
All right, we're going to go to Robert in Ohio. Hello, Robert. What can I do for you, my friend?
Thank you for taking my call. I could sure use a little advice, and I just started listening to you a couple weeks ago, and I really appreciate being able to hear you.
Good.
This is my dilemma. I am a single parent.
Yes.
And I have my daughter just turned 17 and
yes.
She's a junior in high school. And I worked at a company for 25 5 years, and they were closing, so I was able to transfer to the parent company, which I still can carry my seniority on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. However, when I transferred, they put me on second shift. Now, I
what does that mean? What does it mean?
Second shift means I'm working evenings.
From what time?
I'm sorry?
From what time?
Oh, from 3 o'clock until 11:30.
I see.
And that was the time. And keep in mind, I've raised my daughter since she was two.
Yes.
Just myself. And I've always helped her with her homework. I've always been there with her musical activities.
So she's a good kid.
Yes, she is. So
let me get the question now. I see the circumstance. Let me have the question.
Well, my question is, I'm not sure what to do since they put me on second, and I've never been on second.
Is it a good paying job?
It's very good.
What kind of business are you in, may I ask?
Automotive.
And so are you an engineer or something?
No, I'm not an engineer, but I'm in the automotive industry, and I can make $100,000 a year.
Well, can you make $100,000 a year anywhere? Are you confident?
No. That's where faith.
You know what? When you have a job, it's easier to get another one. When you don't have a job, it's different. You're bargaining from a weak position. So my suggestion to you is be bold. You want to spend time with your daughter. Remember, she's 17 years old. It's a sensitive time in her life. So I think she needs a father more than now than ever because of the world she lives in, especially the schools today, high schools. Dangerous places for young girls. Need the protection of a father, the counsel of a father, the presence of a father. Very, very, very valuable. You have my respect for the good job you're doing. But have you saved much money from the money you've been earning? Have you saved any? Do you have freedom money?
Not much.
Well, why don't you have freedom money?
Well, with...
I always had freedom money.
I guess I just didn't do great financially. I had a new home built, and I spent a lot of money on a real expensive home.
I see, but that's very foolish. Yeah. But in other words, you just spent your money, and you went from paycheck to paycheck. Now, that's a different lifestyle I had. I'm wearing a shirt that my daughter paid a quarter for at the thrift store. I like it very much. And so my life is like that. I wear a lot of thrift store stuff. And I buy things, and I used to buy older cars and make a little profit on them, or just sell it for what I paid for it. Even when I bought a boat, I always bought a secondhand one and sold it for what I paid for it, or a little bit more. So I could always afford anything. So I was very frugal with my life. I think saving money and having financial fluidity is a very important thing. You can't live from hand to mouth. You've got to have discipline. And because you haven't had discipline, but you've indulged yourself foolishly and her, you are stuck between a rock and a hard place, and it's not good.
Well, I tried to get out of the inner city where there was crime, so I built a home way out in the suburbs.
Well, maybe you need to go to you need to go to another part of the country, perhaps. You see, because I look what I did. I was in Los Angeles 25 years ago. I just folded up and came to a little town called Grants Pass, Oregon, where I was hounded. You know, as it was a Ku Klux Klan town, and I was Jewish. Can you imagine what I had to go through? That's 25 years ago, used to be. And there's the remnants that were still there, not liking people like myself. You know, I was the invader. And so all kinds of things happened. It's taken 25 years to get hold of it, but I built a school in the middle of town, and everything's okay now. But the thing is, I decided that I would get out of the big cities and that I would live my life in a smaller town, because I know all hell's going to break loose, because people are just walking around with their eyes closed. They can't see 2 inches in front of their nose. They're too into their debauchery and their pleasures. And I think you've been making bad decisions. You should be saving money. And, for example, I have 2 or 3 houses that I get a little income on. So if the foundation folded, well, I have income. See, I never did make a lot of money. I never did earn a lot. For the foundation, I earned a lot. For myself, no. But I saved. I was frugal. And therefore, I put a down payment on a house and rented it out. And sooner or later, as the years went by, they paid themselves off. And I had some income from that. And so that's what I call freedom money. And I did that because I turned a nickel over before I spent it. I did not indulge myself. You did otherwise. You've weakened yourself and your chances in life by indulgence. And so here you are between not and a hard place. And it's hard to tell you what to do, but can you live on less? And can you sell your fancy home and get a job somewhere else? And so that you come home at a decent hour and you put your child in a decent school other than a government high school. Because that's not a good place for your daughter. You should know that.
But pardon? She's a junior in high school. That would really kind of throw her out.
Well, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the matter. I wouldn't. I have a grandson who grew up not in the public school. The kids have never been in public school, but he went to public school at 16 because he was mature enough to deal with it. And sure enough, it was a good experience for him. But you don't send a child to a public school unless they're disciplined to deal with the horror that's there. And so here you are at a difficult position in life where you've had a good living for many years. You should have saved a pile of money and had some houses that you could be renting out. And here you are, you know, stuck with a big fancy home, and the prices of homes are going down. I get that. So when I first started earning a living, and I had a little bit to spare, I said, "What should I do with this?" And something said, "It's freedom money." That's why I called it freedom money. It means you should always be wise, and you should always not be stingy, but be wise. Turn over a nickel before you spend it. Do you really need this, or really do you really need that? And you'd be surprised how many things you don't need and how much security you come from not needing them. Because when you start to indulge in your needs, they forge links to them like a chain. So anyway, I don't know what to tell you. I think I've given you the best advice just by ruminating with you a little bit. So give it some thought. If you can sell your house for a profit, that'd be nice. Move to another part of the country. Get a job so you make $50,000 a year instead, and be there when your daughter comes home from school.
Could you help me with the faith?
Pardon?
Could you help me with the faith so I could actually uproot and do that?
Yes, I'll tell you what you can do. Can you speak up a little bit, because I'm not hearing the caller?
Can you help me with the faith?
Yes, I can. And if you go, do you have a computer? I imagine you do, don't you?
Yes.
Would you go to FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding, or Roy Masters, whichever you can remember, FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding, and go to that website main page. It says Be Still and Know. Download that CD. It's an hour. But you only need a half an hour of it where you sit quietly. And because faith is within you, the strength to do it is within you. And I can guide you to that faith you already have. It's not something anybody can give you, because if I can give it to you, somebody else can take it away. So, but it's within you. And all you have to do is realize what I said is true. And that's good enough. Do the things you're afraid of. Don't be afraid to leap into a new world, because I'm sure that you are confident enough to get a job somewhere else if it's necessary. And I would start looking for that right now, so that you can talk to your superiors and say, "Well, look, I have another job, but because I've got a daughter and I had to do that, but I'll stay with you if you put me back on the right kind of shift so I can be with them." That way you have a bargaining chip, you see. Be very wise here. And from this day forward, save your money. Save money for your future. Invest in houses or something, not the stock market for sure, something you have control over, so that you can have rental houses when you get older. You have that little income and you're free. You don't have to depend on the stupid government. All right, we'll spend your money anyway, because the money won't be there anyway, don't you see? All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want you to imagine for a minute that you have a job where the person you work for decides that day whether or not he will pay you for the work that you've done. Essentially, that is exactly what happens with Roy Masters. Every day he does a radio program, and you, the listener, are like his employer. And you decide whether or not you will support the radio program and the work that Roy Masters has just done. If you're interested in supporting the foundation, you can purchase every radio show that you hear. Just listen for the number, and if you're not sure what it is, call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227, Monday through Friday, regular business hours, Pacific time. Or visit the website at fhu.com. Be a good employer. Please make sure that you support Roy Masters and the work that he is doing for you.
Yes, where else can you get a program like this? We're an organization, a church actually, but a very sort of unchurchy church. I don't call myself reverent. I think that's pretty stinky. Jesus didn't call himself rabbi, they called him teacher. But his name was Jesus. And that's, you know, they called him by his first name. Jesus of Nazareth. He was just an ordinary guy, as far as where he spoke to people on their level, talked straight across to them. And he didn't have a collar and, like the scribes and Pharisees, a sense of importance because of the parchment and the fringes on their garments. And I don't want that either. I don't want you looking up to me. I just want to be of help to you so that you won't need me anymore. Now, isn't that love? The more I love you, the less you need me. But it's not that, see, that need is addiction. It's if I don't give you the truth, I'll give you little bits and pieces of it and interpret it and misinterpret it. And so you're always leaning upon me and as the representative of God. Then, you know, where will you be? Nowhere. You'll just be a member. It says a belonging. You'd be addicted, actually, to a church. And that's not true religion like that. So here I am giving you everything I've got. And it's on the web. The technique, the simple technique that's missing from your scriptures, be still and know. That's why I call it be still and know. And there's other words that follow it, and I am God. And then it goes on to say a few other words, which I can't remember. Something about being, I shall be known in the world or in the that sort of thing. And you will be, because if you're very still, you will experience intuitive behavior. And not contrived. And you will know how to love. And evinced by the fact that you don't hate. It takes love to overcome hate. So if you don't have hate, there's love there. So that's what people meet. That's what they experience when they come at you several ways with anger and meanness, and they can't get to you. And you get to them with something good. Overcome it with good, see? But you don't feel anything. If you do, you're in trouble. Anger, then guilt, and guilt, servitude. Okay, 866 Radio Roy. Support the program, will you? FHU.com and 866 Radio Roy, and pledge something every month to support the program. We appreciate it. Do me a kindness, or do someone a kindness. Someone supported this program so you could hear it and get a value from it. And so they're paying it forward. For a long time they didn't pay support, and then they did when they got the benefit, and they continue. And if enough people do that, I can be on the radio and help people who are searching like you are. So if you call tomorrow and give a pledge of some kind, that'd be very nice. I appreciate it. That way I've got some financial foundation underneath, so I can make my commitments and get other stations and that sort of thing. And I would appreciate you calling your station management and telling them you appreciate the program. Could you get the extra hour? Because most stations don't get the full hour. No, 2 hours. We're 2 hours every night, except on XM, which is 4 hours. It's 10 to 2 in the morning, 10 o'clock at night till 2 in the morning, West Coast time. And on the website, FHU.com, it's 10 to 2 in the morning. Okay, now we're going to take our caller. Patricia. Hello, Patricia.
Hello.
Hello. What can I do for you?
Well, you know, I've spoken with you a couple times, and one time you called me on it. You said I had resentment for my husband, which I did. And I owned on it, and I've been working on that. And I have been just taking, and, you know, I have like that one lady, I had an overbearing mom, and I've learned to step away from her and do exactly what she did with her mom. And now I have a son who is my only son. I have him and my daughter, and he's 33, and he went to his second tour in Iraq. And while he was gone, he had an affair with a lady over there, another soldier. And he came back, and he told his wife, his parents. And anyway, he ended up, he told our bishop of our church. And
yeah, but what's the point? What's the point here?
No, the whole point is I've left him alone, and I've tried to not be overbearing because I know.
Well, see, if you try not to be overbearing, you really are. You're suppressing your overbearingness. It's still there.
Well, I don't call him. You know.
He doesn't live in your house?
No. He's on his own. He's married and has 4 children.
Oh, he's married and 4 children.
Yes.
Well, I don't think you can do much. I think he's confessed to you for a reason. He wants to get it off his chest. And people confess to me, you know, a lot of people confess to me about things. You know, my granddaughter comes home, and she came home out of the cold and the dark world she lived in for 10 years since she was 13 years old. And she could have come to my house way before that, but, you know, Mom taught her not to be angry with me as if I was a bad guy. But the point is, then one morning she woke up and she decided that she wanted to visit me, and I said, you need to stay with me and let me help you. And she talks to me about some of the things she's done, and I don't judge her for it. I don't condemn or condone. I don't say, oh, it's not so bad.
I understand that.
Yes.
By all means, I don't judge him. I mean,
if you don't mind me saying so, can you hold a second? You're not expressing yourself that well. You're all over the place. The question is, you are. You're all over the place.
I apologize.
And it'll take a long, long time to get a point across to you because you keep rambling. And I don't mean to be rude. All you need to do is answer the question. When he confessed to you, did you judge him, or were you upset with him because he did that to his own family, or did you condone him? Say, well, it was really okay. Were you neutral, you know, and say, well, you know, that wasn't right, you know, but you're going to have to live with that, won't you, son? And yes, mother, and left it at that. That would have been a beautiful thing, because he's confessing you for a reason, and if you can be neutral, meaning not judge him or love him to comfort him in this. That's what love is all about. And that's healing. The ability. So if you didn't do that, then you're in trouble.
No, I didn't. I tried to stay neutral.
But you didn't.
And he felt it. I did. I was neutral with him.
But you tried to stay
neutral. I did not judge him.
But when you say you tried to stay neutral, it means you didn't. If you were neutral, there was no trying.
Uh-huh.
You know, I understand. Well, this is not a thing of trying.
Okay, I understand.
This is a thing of real.
Yes. That
you are neutral, meaning you have no... You let him confess to you and don't judge him for it. When people confess to Jesus, He didn't judge him for it. He said, I haven't come to judge the world, but to preach forgiveness.
Well, I guess when I say I tried in the past.
But I'm going to tell you something that ain't good enough. Got to go to my next call. Trying is not good enough. These are things of the heart, and they must be real. You can't try to be real. And I don't know if there's a figure of speech I've tried. I'm not trying to be real now. I love what I do. I've been here 47 years on the radio, and every night I'm sitting here. I could be fishing. I could do all the things I like to do. But they're not important anymore. The rest of my life is yours. And whether you appreciate it or not, that's your problem. Okay? Now, we're going to take our calls. We're going to go to Mike in Arizona. Hello, Mike. What can I do for you?
Hi, Roy. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I've been listening to your Be Still and Know technique now for about a month.
Yes.
And I did pretty well with it the first week or so. And then I started to get really restless.
Yes, it's understandable.
Like a five-year-old child or something.
Yeah, you couldn't sit still.
Right.
I understand it.
I'm still experiencing that, and I'm experiencing more rage and more anger seems to be.
It's coming up. It's coming to the surface.
Yes.
So now the question is, how do you deal with it?
Well, and also the question is that, okay, am I doing something wrong, or is that...
You may not be doing anything wrong. If you're getting some benefit from it, I can only assume that you mean that you are more patient with others. You're beginning to be more patient with the faults of others.
Yes, I am, because of...
Well, that's the reason why it's coming to the surface. So okay. So it seems like you're getting worse only because when you were in the other state, the resentment... piled on resentment and judgment piled on judgment. So while you were judging, you were staying ahead of the judgments on you. So you were getting worse. So every time you judged as a way of anesthetizing your conscience, that's what the judgment does. We become very addicted to being angry. And it keeps our conscience at bay. But when you stop being angry, you start to feel guilty and anxiety-ridden as if for nothing, but it isn't for nothing. It's the past that's coming up, and sort of bear the pain like a man.
Right.
I tell you what my five-year-old said. This is such a cute story.
Okay. And
he says all kinds of wonderful things. So he's playing all day long at my house on Sunday with all his cousins. Whole family was here, having a wonderful time with shooting rockets off and making their own rockets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But anyway... And he was having so much fun. So when he gets in the car, he throws up in the car.
Oh.
So his mother said, weren't you feeling all right? He said, well, tell you the truth, mother. I had a headache all day, but I didn't say anything about it because I'm trying to be a man.
Yes.
He's actually enjoying himself too much, actually.
But
he makes the point.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is not complain about it. Just keep that to yourself.
Okay.
And just go through it. And it's a purging pain. It's something you need to experience without being upset with it happening. And you're going to go through a fair amount of that, feeling anxiety and guilty without having a reason. But then slowly but surely memories will come up and give you and show you the reason and say, oh, yeah, I see what I did wrong there. And that's the end of it. And then there are other feelings, that's waves of anxiety that come over you that have no memory connected to it, but they just go away. So make sure you don't add resentment to it. Struggle with it. Just allow it to vent.
Okay.
Okay?
I thought I was angry. I knew I was angry before this, but man.
You didn't realize how.
No, I didn't, sir. No, I didn't.
But you've been spared a dangerous illness.
I think so, yes.
You know it, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I tell you what I'm going through? Another thing, real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I'm fallen in love, or you might say I've probably fallen
don't,
in
Don't do it.
I know.
How old are you?
I'm 44.
You have children?
No, sir.
So you've never been married?
Never been married.
You've just gone from, you know, flower to flower?
Well, not as much as maybe I'd like, but yes.
It's not healthy.
No.
Because you'll never have a relationship by falling from what love is all about. See, falling in love is really an oxymoron, I guess, if I know the meaning of the word. It's really, you're just falling from love, what love is all about, when you fall. It's funny how they use the word expression, falling in love. Why would you fall if it's love? Actually, it's true. You actually fall. See, what you need to do is have a relationship with a woman that you love the person for herself. When you find the woman that you really love, you may not be sexually attracted to her at first, but you love her beautiful spirit, and you can talk to each other, and you can sit and have coffee and lunch and go do things together that is fun. And there may not be a great sexual attraction, but you love that spirit, and one day there's that little feeling there that wasn't there before, but it's after the fact, not in front. It's not like all of a sudden you're madly in love and on fire with each other and you can't wait to get each other's clothes off.
Okay.
So it's got to be loving the spirit of that person first.
Okay.
And resisting the temptation to press your advantage. And you find that women these days are very brazen and spoiled, and they're man-eaters, too many of them.
Yes.
They offer you themselves too quickly. Don't go for it.
Yes, I've learned that.
It's a deadly trap. You don't want it. Then they will say, well, you're not a man. I'll find some. They'll try to make fun of you as if you weren't a man when you are one. But they just can't control you, so they don't want you.
Why do women seem to like the bad guy? The guy that's...
It's always the weak guys and the bad guys because they're control freaks.
Okay. I don't say okay as in I don't understand. Because
no, I know you understand. I know you do understand. I got to rush now. Listen, I've enjoyed talking with you. I can only give you so much time. Nice talking with you. Have a good life. And don't mess with the ladies in an improper way. Isn't that nice of me to say that, ladies? Wouldn't you like to meet a man that loved you full? He cared for your spirit and wanted to nurture it and not just use you. There aren't too many men like that. There are not too many ladies that appreciate it. Well, I hope there are. We'll be right back. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, please, would you do me a courtesy? Call tomorrow, FHU.com. Well, that's the website. I beg your pardon. 866 Radio Roy. Could you remember that, please? And make a commitment, a pledge, if you like. Because we do need that. Things are pretty quiet these days, and seems the better programs I have, the more value I give, the less I get back. And it seems, it doesn't seem right somehow, that you should listen and get value of it and know that in order for me to deliver you the service, that you have to pay it forward. I mean, well, you don't have to do anything really, do you? But the thing is, if you get a value and you know that someone has paid for that, it's not a sponsored, just a person who appreciates what has happened to them and their life has changed. One lady said, I think she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go to the hairdressers anymore. I'm going to give that money to the foundation. And then that broke an obsession. That was an obsession she had for having her hair done. And that was sweet. I'm going to give that. Yes, I'm going to help somebody. That is love. To sacrifice a little something that, little selfish something. Can you sacrifice a little selfish something? Did you stop smoking? Did you stop drinking? How about giving a small percentage of that to the foundation so that I can, you know, move forward? Having a difficult time these days, you see. And the phones are quiet. So if you please call tomorrow, that would be very nice. And the ladies love those phone calls. And they're delightful. They're delightful people, all of them there. We have a great staff. We all have a lot of fun. And we learn a lot from each other. Foundation's a great place to work. By the way, the Human Foundation Ranch is open. We have a beautiful ranch in Oregon. I have a talk every Sunday morning. The Sunday mornings, what's playing right now on the web is Sunday Conversations, Destiny. It's not you who decides. You need to listen to that. It's go to the FHU.com website and just click on it and listen. And if you enjoy it, you can actually download a copy for yourself if you want. It's only a small donation of some kind. Okay? But you can listen to it, no charge. So you can listen to it as many times as you want. But you can take it with you and send it to somebody if you want. And that will be a small donation. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. 866 Radio Roy, FHU.com. In Arizona. Hello, Elena. Are you there?
For taking my call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Uh-huh. I am 56 years old, and then
yes.
I do have three kids. Two for the same man, and the last one when a different man. I've always been single. My marriage was 5 years, and then doesn't last any longer. The second try out, I didn't accomplish much, but I
yes.
have the third kid.
I hear
now,
you.
I was going to ask you something, and yet you give me the answer with one of your callers before. I'm a truck driver in 16 years, yet
I always in debt.
Working for, you know, a little bit. I only accomplished my high school and as adult in the English I'm speaking to you and learning another language, being as a truck driver,
mm-hmm.
and learned from the radio as, listen to you and other programs. I educate myself for the last 16 years.
Yes.
The much I can. Yet, I have to come back home the same way you told the other caller. I start feeling guilty. My son, it is not alone. I bought a house. I never had one, but I did have one for 5 years. And I probably tried to go back, as you told the other caller.
Mm-hmm. But what are you calling? I know that you've tried, but what are you calling me for? What can I do for you now? How can I help?
Reinsure. I don't have a partner, and I always want to be a married woman, have a husband.
I know
but
it. I hear
never
you.
I never had it. I don't know why. When the men approached me, I never had the time for them, and I see myself in the future very close. I'm gonna be over myself. I got, you know, just support the kids. And
but you, how old are your children?
The last one, 13. The middle one, 23, and the first one, 33.
Well, do they love you?
Yeah, they do.
Isn't it about time they help their mother a little bit?
I think it's my responsibility.
You know, my mother used to say, what did she used to say? She says, one mother can support 10 kids, but 10 kids can't support one mother.
Yes.
There's something wrong here that we have to have social security and everything, but we don't have. I mean, there should be a safety net. I get that. But we should have families in such a way that the children love their parents. You know, to chip in and help mother in her old age. See, or mother should be wise enough to prepare for her own old age by not spending foolishly.
Yeah. The second son, it is Marine, and he's going to be deployed in a week or so for Iraq.
So now that he can't help, then. He can't help you.
He cannot.
But remember this. You don't need any help right now.
No.
But you do need to be with your 13-year-old son somehow.
Yes.
And you'd have to, if you could learn to be a mother, a good mother, you'll find fulfillment in that. And you'll find a joy in your children loving you for your sacrifice. You may not make a lot of money, and you may have to eat beans. But I think it'll all be worth it in the long run if you have a talk to your son and say, look, son, I'm making more money on the road, and I can give you more things, but I think I'm going to make less money, and I'm going to stay home with you and look out for you. And it should be genuine, and you will establish a good relation with your children. That is your future.
Well,
not because they should support you, but because you love them. And it will come from them all on their own. It will come from them. I know I have a family, and I'm solidly fixed, sensible, not rich, I'm not poor. And I've made provisions, I've saved, I've been wise, there have been good examples to them, they're all successful. All successful. And I know that if something would happen to me, my wife would be taken care of, they'd all take care of her.
Yes.
And by the way, I'd have enough to take. She has the houses that she, a few houses she has, she manages. She's independent anyway, but they would, don't you see? You wouldn't have to ask. It's natural. Yeah. It would be natural for them. They're good kids.
Yeah, they're good kids.
Mine are, and yours will be too. Just be there for them. That's all. That's all kids ever ask. They will give. Yeah. They will give you great bounty, out of the goodness of their own hearts.
Uh-huh.
But you can't live a selfish life. Otherwise, you'll be alone, all of you, and depend on the government. The government won't be there for you. They're spending the money. There's no savings. There's no savings. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul right now. One person is working to keep one person alive. Half the country is on welfare. There's some kind of substantial amount of money coming from your wages. 866-RADIO-ROY, FHU.com. The program number is 4664. Beg your pardon. You can get copies of the program. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want you to imagine for a minute that you have a job where the person you work for decides that day whether or not he will pay you for the work that you've done. Essentially, that is exactly what happens with Roy Masters. Every day he does a radio program, and you, the listener, are like his employer. And you decide whether or not you will support the radio program and the work that Roy Masters has just done. If you're interested in supporting the foundation, you can purchase every radio show that you hear. Just listen for the number, and if you're not sure what it is, call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227, Monday through Friday, regular business hours, Pacific time. Or visit the website at FHU.com. Be a good employer. Please make sure that you support Roy Masters and the work that he is doing for you.
The program you are hearing has been made possible by listeners like you. For over 40 years now, Roy Masters has been searching the airwaves for those ready to enact a positive, lasting change in their lives. His no-nonsense, direct approach cuts straight to the heart of his listeners' problems and saves them years of therapy and medications. His prison ministry enables lost souls to regain control of their lives and become productive members of society. And don't forget the many children who have benefited from their parents' understanding of Roy Masters' teachings. If you have been helped by this program, please help us to help others by making a regular donation to the Foundation of Human Understanding. However small, every little bit helps. Just call our office between 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time and ask about our convenient auto-debit program. The number is 800-877-3227. Without you, none of this could have been made possible. Thank you for your continued support.